Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. Today we're going to talk about the Day of Atonement in Leviticus chapter 23 in verse 26. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, On the 10th day of the 7th month there shall be a Day of Atonement. It's a holy convocation. It's a time that they were to afflict their souls, and they were to offer up an offering made by fire unto the Lord. They were not to do any work. It was a Day of Atonement. If someone did not afflict themselves that day, they were going to be cut off from among the people. And so it was a Sabbath of rest, or the Sabbath of Sabbaths, a day of national and sanctuary cleansing, a day of judgment that would come if God did not see the blood which was put upon the mercy seat by the high priest, and he would pass over and not bring judgment. Now, the high priest is the one who accomplished this. He would enter into the Holy of Holies with the blood of that goat that was for the Lord, which was one goat of the sin offering. There were two goats that were the sin offering. And the high priest would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And the blood of the sin offering brought about the covering over of sin in the Old Testament. As we see, as a day of holy convocation, but it's also a day of judgment going to come forth at the end when Jesus comes back. This was a time when they were to fast, and they were to have soul affliction. They were to afflict their souls. They were to chasten themselves. They were to humble themselves. And as the church is approaching the Day of Atonement fulfillment by Jesus Christ, you're going to see that holiness is going to be a great emphasis upon the church, because soul affliction is to increase more and more, humbling ourselves, seeking God, coming to the place of being right before Him. Now, during this Day of Atonement, there were ceremonies that were fulfilled. These ceremonies were pointing towards how Jesus fulfilled it in the New Testament, also the dealings of God with the church, His body, and also pointing towards the final fulfillment where there's going to be judgment that is going to come upon those who do not know God, who have rejected Him. Now, there was the golden censer ministry. In Leviticus chapter 16, they took the golden censer, the censer that was full of burning coals. They put incense upon the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of incense covered the mercy seat that was upon the testimony. And then they took the blood and sprinkled it upon the mercy seat eastward. And so this golden censer ministry, this was done by the high priest, and as he entered in, the incense placed on the fiery coals of the censer, it caused this incense to ascend, speaking of it ascending up unto God. Now, incense in Scripture speaks of our prayers ascending up to God. Psalms 141 in verse 2, Let thy prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And in Revelation 5:8, it speaks of the golden vials full of odors. Odors refers to the incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And then in Revelation chapter 8, here we see in verse 3, where it speaks of the golden censer that was given to the angel, and there was given him much incense, that he offered it with the prayers of all the saints, and they were ascending up before God. This shows the fact that incense speaks of prayer. This shows the fact that the body of Christ is to come to the place in these last days of having the spirit of prayer and supplication upon it, and entering into the intercession and warring, a good warfare, praying with all manner of prayer to see the church come to the place of walking in holiness, overcoming the enemy, and pulling down the spirit's strongholds in the areas of the heavenlies. We're to war good warfare, warring against the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, because we are to wrestle against them and to release the power of God to destroy the works of the enemy, as well as, of course, casting out all the spirits out of us, because we're to destroy the works of the enemy through the church, who has been given authority and releases God's power as we pray. So as the second coming approaches, this prayer is going to increase. And if you've got to get your prayer life in order, be a person who is going to pray, because the prayers is going to bring forth the experiential fulfillment of the things of God, of course, in your life, as well as accomplishing these things prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. And so this speaks of prayers and intercessions, and this is going to be an important thing that is going to happen in the body of Christ. If you're an intercessor, get into your intercessory ministry, and everybody needs, of course, to pray and intercede and to do it effectively. Now, also it talks about in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 4, where they put on the linen garments. Aaron laid aside his garments of glory and beauty, as it talked about in Exodus 28, and he was to put on linen garments to enter in. Now, the linen garments speaks of the righteousness of the saints, as it says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. And so he came in with righteousness. That speaks of the fact that the church, if they're going to be in the position to stand in against any judgments, of course, is because they're going to be righteous before God. And how are we righteous? We must be born again, and we must do righteousness, as it says in 1 John 3:7, let no man deceive you. He that doeth, present tense, continuous repeated action, doeth righteousness, is righteous, even as he is righteous. And then after that, he changed back into his garments of glory and beauty. And Jesus actually fulfilled this in one aspect, in laying aside, in the, as far as an interim fulfillment, he laid aside his garments of glory and beauty that he had with the Father. Of course, he came to the earth to walk the walk that Adam had failed. And he put on his linen garments of righteousness as he walked that walk, as he went through. He had to walk uprightly, had to overcome all the temptations that would come against him. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. And then, of course, he went to the cross with that linen garment of righteousness, where he was sinless, to pay the price and to give his life a ransom to bring forth the redemption. Then, of course, then he went back to heaven and put on his garments of glory and beauty again, which is all typified by what the high priest did. Now, experientially in us, we are going to put on righteousness and holiness as we are walking right before him, doing his word, praise the Lord, consistently. And then we're going to obtain the glory of the Lord, which we're all called to obtain. Remember that the blood of Jesus Christ is applied by Jesus when we have confessed our sins, we receive forgiveness, cleansing from all unrighteousness, and also when we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Otherwise, it continually is applied to us by Jesus, who is the one who applies the blood to keep us in that place of being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Here we see the work of the high priest, which is all a type of Christ, because he's the high priest today. And so we see this mighty work that was accomplished. And also another thing we want to point out of Leviticus 16, that there was the scapegoat, because there were two goats that were the sin offering, as it speaks of in Leviticus chapter 16. First of all, there was the one goat, which was the one in verse 15, as it says, was slain, and its blood was put on the mercy seat. And this speaks of Jesus dying physically, where his blood was shed, giving his life to accomplish that redemption. And this wasn't a covering over as it was in the Old Testament. See, that was only a rehearsal of the reality that was going to come forth. The reality is Jesus came and he didn't cover over the sins. He did away with them. He offered himself once for the sin offering, and it's not to be done again, because his blood washed away and cleansed us, not just covering over, praise God. But there was another goat, and the second goat was the one was the live goat, where they laid their hands on him and they confessed the sins of Israel over him, and sent him to a land uninhabited, a land where he was to bear away all the iniquities of Israel. This is all a type of Jesus, who became sin on the cross, went down into hell 3 days and three nights to bear away the sins of mankind and to fulfill the requirements of justice for the sins. And he suffered for 3 days and three nights, and then he was raised from the dead, the firstborn from the dead, praise God. And so Jesus accomplished all these things. Now, the New Testament interpretation or revelation of what this is all about is revealed in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, here's where it speaks of the fact that Jesus made his sacrifice once and for all for sin. Hebrews chapter 10 speaks of that in verse 11 to 14. And Aaron made atonement. He made it for himself first, and then for the priesthood, the nation, and the sanctuary. Well, Jesus didn't have to make any atonement for himself, of course, because he didn't sin. At the same time, he did do it for the household, the nation, and a cleansing of the sanctuary to bring forth a cleansing in all areas. And he also had to enter into the heavenly sanctuary to cleanse that. Remember that Aaron had to cleanse the sanctuary. At the same time, Jesus had to enter in because of the effect of the devil who formerly was up there and the angels that left their estate. The heavens were not clean and they needed to be cleansed. In fact, Job 15:15 says, "The heavens are not clean in thy sight." So Jesus, as the one who entered into, he went in and poured out his blood on the mercy seat, the true one in heaven, whereby bringing forth a cleansing as well as ratifying the new covenant. Praise God. And now the way into the presence of God is open to all by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the glory of God now is to be manifest in the church, because as the church enters into the experience of the Day of Atonement, of dealing with sin, judging themselves, you know, if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged, and coming to the place of where we are going to walk in holiness and have a linen garments on righteousness. And of course, if you are righteous, you have fruit unto holiness, and you go through this cleansing process and afflict your soul and be purged out and come to the place of being a holy vessel in the Lord. The church is going to be changed from glory to glory by the presence of the Lord, and the glory is to fill the tabernacle, and it is to be manifest in the church in these last days. You know, the church is to shine with the glory of God. Isaiah 60 talks about, "Arise and shine, the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." And even though the day at the same time is going to be a day of darkness, great darkness is going to cover the earth, because as the last days proceed, the church is going to come to the place, the real church, the remnant, the ones who are going to walk the walk of Jesus Christ, they're going to come to the place of holiness and see the glory of God manifest. While those that are not, those that are turned away, then great darkness is going to come. And the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth. Praise God. So this Day of Atonement was a time when there was the sin offering that was offered, the sacrifice, and the blood being poured out. And this speaks of the fact that the church is to come to the place of absolute holiness, walking uprightly before the Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ applied. And there was one other thing, that there also was the time of the Jubilee. And the Jubilee was the time when there was liberty to all captives, and Jesus brings forth the liberty, and he manifests this. He's already done it through what he accomplished on the cross, but he does it experientially in the church, and also when he comes back and brings forth judgment that is going to come on those that have not received the gospel. So here we see the fact that the Day of Atonement, Jesus is the one who ultimately will fulfill this at the time of his second coming and the judgment that is going to come. Be sure that you're walking in holiness, being a doer of the word, and be a holy vessel before the Lord. In closing, are you looking for a New Testament church? We teach and preach the uncompromised Word of God with in-depth teaching, bringing forth scripture after scripture on subject after subject. I also minister healing and deliverance to all who have a need. I minister continual deliverance and healing, doing whatever it takes until a person is set free. I've seen the Lord heal cancer, heart problems, diabetes, blindness, deafness, dumbness, seizures, eliminate tumors, and bring forth healing from all kinds of sickness and disease. I invite you to visit Jesus is Lord Outreach Center. Our services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. The church is located at 2955 West Fairmount Avenue, just west of I-17 and Indian School. For more information, please call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.